Hey everyone, it's Pastor Micah, lead pastor here at High Praise Crestview. I want to say thank you for choosing to listen to today's podcast. I want to encourage you to subscribe to this podcast wherever you're listening from today, and go connect with us on social media as well. My prayer is that as you listen to this message, you're encouraged, blessed, and transformed by the power of the Word of God. Now open your heart and get ready to receive what God wants to speak to you today. Open up your Bibles this morning, if you will, to Psalm 121. I want to continue in our series that we started last week called Psalms for the Summer. Last week we talked about an awesome psalm, and I want to kind of go back now a little bit, a few chapters back to Psalm 121, and we're going to read this, and then we're just going to jump straight into it. Did you come ready to receive the word today? Okay, that was pretty pitiful. Let's try that again. It said, did you come ready to receive the word today? Amen. Amen, amen. Some of y'all stayed up too late watching Argentina pull that out last night thanks to the refs. But anyways, the script is already written, friends. Psalm 121, I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this word today. Let our ears be open to the revelation knowledge of your understanding, Lord. We receive with meekness the engrafted word that's able to save our souls today. So, Lord, open our hearts to receive of what you want spoken today. Lord, anoint my tongue as a ready and skillful writer to speak what you want spoken in this room. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen, amen. Amen. Now, this psalm, when you look at psalms, and we've talked a little bit last week about how there's different parts of the psalms, and when you are reading Psalms 120 through 134, this is known as the song or the psalms of the ascent, the songs of the ascent. These songs were connected to God's people going up to Jerusalem for worship. So Jerusalem and the temple mount were elevated above where they were. So we're thinking as we're reading this, there, anybody had kids in their car before and they start making up songs about things that they see around them? Anybody? Okay. I want you to just imagine for a second. That's kind of what's happening here. They're not making up a psalm, but they're singing a psalm about what's happening right now. And through that, they're reminding themselves of the better word in the midst of it. So they're going through and they're saying that this is happening. We see this, but the Lord goes before us. The Lord is where our help is in these things. So we're going to jump into that and view it from that place today. But Jerusalem, the temple, they're elevated. So as the worshipers travel to the house of the Lord, they were ascending both geographically, on a playing field, they're ascending, but also spiritually, there's some things going on too. They were singing these songs, they're worshiping the Lord, there's these different psalms that are coming forth from them, and this is incredible because the songs were for the people on the way, not the people who had already made it. Think about this for a second. This is where this comes alive for us today. This is not the song of people who have already got there. This is a song of people who are going somewhere to a new elevation or a new place, but they're not quite there yet. And I think that probably speaks to everybody in this room. There are some songs that we have to sing, or there's some reminders we have to give ourselves about where we're going, not just what we're in right now. Sometimes we kind of get overwhelmed by everything that's going on. We got to process everything that's going on, that we forget to continue to process that he is the better word, that he is the better thing, that all of our help comes from the Lord. Some trust in chariots and horses. We talk about this last week about not putting your trust in princes. Notice at the beginning of the scripture, it tells us again, I lift my eyes up to the hill. Why are we lifting our eyes to the hill? Because that's where my help comes from. My help comes from the Lord. It doesn't come from all the things. See, oftentimes we are looking too much at what is around us for help, and we're not looking to the Lord for help. We're trying to look for this person and money money and fame and posturing and promotion and raises and a little bit of favor here with the boss and stuff like that. We're looking for all these other things around us whenever we do that, we stop looking unto the Lord, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, the one that actually is there for us, the ever-present help in the time of trouble. But if you notice, this psalm is not telling you that life never gets dangerous. It's not telling you that you're not going to go through some things. It's just reminding you that you're not going to be alone, that there might be hills, that there's going to be some, if you notice, talked about heat. We're going to jump through each one of them. Talked about the sun, the moon, all these things. There's some darkness, uncertainty, some pressures, things of that nature. It's actually saying these things are going to happen, but this psalm is a promise to us all today that the Lord is the keeper in the midst of all of those times. Psalm 146 was last week where we talked about he sets us free and that we don't put our trust in princes or those things around us, but the Lord is the one that gives us freedom. The Lord is where we put our trust. And Psalm 121 kind of keeps moving in the same, place, but it brings a little bit greater context for us and maybe what we're going through today. So my prayer is that this message helps you understand that there's a better place to look for your help today. Amen. Psalm 121, 1 and 2 said, I'll lift my eye up to the hills from whence my help comes from. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. So the first thing is you need to lift your eyes. Somebody say, lift your eyes. Lift your eyes. We live in a generation that is, anybody constantly on their phone? Okay, so there's 17 honest people and the rest of you walking in denial. And eventually you're going to walk into a wall because you're not looking up, you're looking at your phone. If I take my phone out today and I zoom in, and I won't do this to anybody because it'll make you uncomfortable, but if I zoom in on somebody's face, I mean, I zoom in, blow up your face right here on my phone right now. If I did Pastor Newland right here, if I focus on this as I'm looking, the only thing that I actually see is Pastor Newland, right? Does that mean that there's nothing else going around me? No. It means there is some other stuff that's going on. And I think sometimes we do this with, not with God, but with problems. Right? We magnify, we zoom in, we really analyze and process every single problem. We zoom in on that one thing. We zoom in on the pressure of life. We zoom in on the diagnosis. We zoom in on the problems at home. We zoom in on some financial struggles we might be going through. And the problem is we will get so zoomed in on that one thing and looking at that one thing that we forget to come back to Scripture and the promises of God, which are yes and amen. We don't look at all the other blessings and provision that are around us, the good things, the promises that are coming to pass within our life. All we begin to focus on is this one thing we don't have, or this one thing that's not going the way we want, or that fear of not being accepted, or that fear of death. We zoom in on this one thing, and that's all we look at. But hear me, we have got to change where we're looking. Remember this, that sometimes the first miracle is not God changing what is in front of you. Sometimes the first miracle is God lifting your eyes above what is in front of you. Sometimes I was talking to somebody one day and they said, I've seen signs, wonders, and miracles take place. I've seen, you know, deaf ears open. I've seen, and basically just starts quoting the Brandon Lake song. And I've seen, some of y'all know that, some of y'all don't. He starts saying all these things, though, and then he says, but one of the greatest miracles I believe God can do is change the heart of man. And I believe there's a strong truth in this, that it is whenever our free will is so set in what we want or what we're focusing on or what we want to do or what we want to give attention to, we set our face like flint on that one thing, and it's sometimes difficult for us to actually be moldable for the Lord to change our look and our perspective on things. And I believe one of the greatest miracles that God can do in your life, even this morning, is not necessarily just remove the obstacle, but put your eyes on Him once again, who can remove the obstacle. Oftentimes the truth is we're wanting to focus on the obstacle because we want to remove the obstacle.
Yeah.
And God's like, no. You want the glory for it. Sometimes we want to be able to say, yeah, I did that. And God's like, put your eyes on me. So faith doesn't ignore, once again, things that are going on. Faith begins to look higher than what is happening, than what's going on around. So the psalmist starts with this decision. What is the decision? I will lift my eyes. Listen to me. Some of you today, you just need to make a decision that I'm going to lift my eyes. I'm going to stop looking at just ground level. I'm going to stop just looking at what I see right now. I decide today, I lift my eyes. That means that his eyes were capable of staying low. But he says, I'm making a decision of heart today that I'm no longer keeping my eyes low or on what's around me. My eyes are going to look up. I'm not looking at the trouble. I'm not looking at the road. I'm not looking at the dangers. I'm not looking at all the hills. I'm not looking at just the fatigue, not to say that none of those things exist, but I'm making a decision of heart that I am going to look to the Lord who is the one that will preserve me, as we'll talk about here in just a minute. So sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do is just lift your eyes, not because what you're facing is not real, but because what you are facing is not greater than God. What you are facing, just a reminder for you today, what you are facing is not greater than God. And anytime we start magnifying it to a place and we say things like, I just don't think God can change this. I just don't think God can move in this. Hear me today. Those are words of saying, this thing is greater than God. And as long as you keep making a declaration that this can't be changed by God, you are ensnared by the words of your mouth. And hear me say, you need to begin to declare a greater thing. I understand what the doctor says. I understand what things look like. I understand none of those things are not true. Hear me. Those things are truths that you have heard through your ears. But that does not change and does not get a greater word than the word of God that is forever settled in heaven, that we decree and we declare time and time again. And even if I don't see it, guess what? I'll still declare that he is Lord of everything that I'm facing. So you need to remind yourself today what you're facing is not greater than God. So the hills, though, that they're facing here for us, the traveler groups, you know, they're going to Jerusalem. The hills could point towards Zion and the place of worship. But they could also represent this. A dangerous terrain, a journey, the high places, the rocks they could trip on. These different things could also be another way and lens to look at it. So a lot of people, for us, the hills or the terrain or the struggles or the issues look different for each of us. Some of our hills, if you will, can or the terrain that we have to face is money problems, like I mentioned a moment ago. People that we encounter. Talent, things, pride, arrogance. Some of these things can get in the way. Even ministry can become a problem. I'm going to say it again because for anybody who's in any form of ministry in here, hear me, which by the way, if you call the name of the Lord, you've been called into ministry. Okay, some of y'all, not me. Yeah, you. If you're in this church, guess what? You're called to ministry. I'm not saying you're going to preach right here. I'm saying that you're called to minister. The gospel. You are a minister of reconciliation in accordance to Scripture. So hear me. You are a minister. You are being equipped for every good work. You're being equipped for ministry. And so hear me. Even sometimes our ministry, though, can be get in the way of us actually doing what God wants us to do because we start going into a performance ministry, not Jesus' heart ministry to those that are around us. Now, the psalm says, I lift my eyes to the hill where my help comes from. Then he answers his own question here, my help comes from the Lord. Sometimes, hear me today, say like this, you have to sometimes almost, there's this thing called talk therapy. Anybody ever done talk therapy? You know, raise your hand. But sometimes in talk therapy, there's different kinds. And sometimes the process of it is you almost start asking questions to yourself as you're talking, and you start answering your own questions while you're raising the questions, because you start seeing, okay, wait a second, I know the answer to this. I like to think the psalmist here is almost going through his own portion of talk therapy for a second. I lift my eyes to the help. From where my help comes from? Where's my help come from? Where's my help? My help comes from the Lord. There's a reminder. Sometimes you have to almost question your own direction before you can correct what you are depending on. Before you can actually look in the right place, you've got to stop yourself and go, hold on. Where is my actual help coming from? Is my help coming from the Lord right now? Or is my help coming from the hill? Because I'm my eyes to the hill, but that means he is above the hill. He is seated above that even. So we have to ask ourselves, where is our help actually coming from? Write this down. Some of us are not helpless because God is absent. We feel helpless because we have been looking for help in places that cannot carry the weight of our soul. It's not because God's not there. It's because we've been looking for help in all the wrong places. We've been, you know what I'm talking about? Wookin' Penub in all the wrong places. That's an Eddie Murphy old SNL dig right there, friends. We're looking for help in all the wrong places because it can't carry the weight of what you have. And so you look to that and you look to that. Lift your eyes does not mean pretend that it's not difficult. Lift your eyes means refuse to let the difficult things become higher than God. So Psalmist does not just say, my help comes from the Lord. He says, my help comes from the Lord, the maker, or who made heaven and earth. There's also a reminding even in that he made heaven and earth, whatever I'm facing. If he made all that, then this is a piece of cake for him. There's a reminder. There's once again this stirring of Psalm in his spirit, man, to remind his soul what is actually true and what is actually what the promise that he gives to us. So that means the size of your help is connected to the size of the view of your God. The size of your help is connected to the size of the view of your God. So if God is small in your own eyes, hear me, your problem will always look massive. It'll always look difficult. But write this down. When you remember he made heaven and earth, you remember nothing in creation is greater than the Creator. Nothing that you face in creation is greater than the Creator. The same God who created the heavens and the earth is the same God who helps you right now. The same God who hung the stars and the moon sees my steps and knows what I'm going through. The same God who split the sea, listen, he knows the storm that you're facing right now. The same God who formed the mountains that you see and the pictures of the mountains you see is the same God who can, whenever you speak to the mountain, you can see it cast into the sea by the declaration of your faith. Amen. This is scripture. This is the good news. This is faith speaking today. Some of us, we reject faith because we reject faith because we truly don't understand faith as part of it. Because we think, and I just, there's a balance, and I don't have time to preach a full faith message and the practicality of faith this morning. There is faith in believing for crazy miracles, and there's also faith in practical active steps to see the faith come to pass. And I think some of us, especially in the church, we have done one part of it, meaning we will believe, decree, and declare while still doing the same dumb thing. That's not the fullness of faith. Fullness of faith is faithfulness, meaning that faith is believing, but faith without the works of faith is dead. So believing something, so this, I'll give you a real practical way. I can believe all day long that I will be in better shape by the end of this year. Why are you laughing? I don't appreciate that. That was hurtful. I lift my eyes to the hill. My help comes from the Lord. I can believe this deep down in my soul. I mean, I can be persuaded that I'm going to be in better shape by the end of this year. I can even go and pray before I go to bed every night, Lord, supernatural weight loss. Supernatural muscle definition, Lord. And the areas of my hair which are receding slightly, Lord, I ask that you just fill those in at this point. I can begin to pray all those things, right? Supernatural Rogaine, Lord. I can pray all those things. We laugh because that's ridiculous. It's stupid sounding, to be honest, that you would actually do that and think, oh, all of a sudden something will change. But oftentimes, that is what our faith looks like. Lord, I pray right now for healing in my heart. Because there was maybe a diagnosis that you had that was like, hey, you need to do some things in your health to help your heart. Lord, I just pray for my heart. Give me a new heart. Spiritual transplant right now. Okay, well also though, start doing things. Change your diet. Eat a little different. Maybe get a little bit of activity walking throughout the day. Let your heart work the way God already created you to work in a way that we need to come into scripture with. Are you seeing this today? That it's great to decree and declare things, but we have to then be practical in application and walk out our faith. We can't just faith everything away or faith everything to existence. Look at this. We've been praying for a new building. You know what that looks like in order to get to a new building? A lot. A lot of work. A lot of money. A lot of wisdom. Not just, Lord, building. Shundai. You know, and all of a sudden, yeah, somebody just walks up, here's a whole building, fully furnished the way it needs to be, exactly perfect, no problems. It's exactly what you've been praying for. It's not the way. It takes us going, looking again, double-checking everything, talking to banks, talking to insurance agents. There's practical things that have to be done. But we can still step back and go, we decreed, we declared, we believed, and the Lord now makes things, understand what I'm saying, easier. He lightens it. He brings grace for the moment. That's sometimes the greater miracle. So, I need to get back to the message. So if he can hold the heavens, hear me today, he can handle what's weighing heavy on you today. There is humility in admitting that you need help. But there is faith in knowing where your help comes from. Okay? All of us need to be willing to say, yes, sometimes we need some help, but we also need to realize our help comes from the Lord, not every single source that is around us at the same time. Right. Needing help does not make you weak. Looking to the wrong source will make you weary, though, okay? The second thing he says in this text is this. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. That's verses 3-4. Say it like this. The Lord knows how to keep your feet. The psalmist now moves from where help comes from to what help does for us. It helps us know where to go, what to do next, the next step. Once again, they're traveling as they're singing this, as they're writing this. So this makes sense to what they're going through. They're talking about the roads. They're talking about the hills. They're talking about the terrain that they are going through. They're talking about the weariness of lots of walking and going up a hill, walking continuously up a hill. It is tiring. So it doesn't ever mean, once again, you won't have difficult seasons and areas and times where maybe that feel a little bit unstable or like you're having to climb a certain terrain. And there are seasons that you will go through like that you will not be able to control what you're going through. But however, you know a God who can keep you steady and keep you upright, that you can stand strong and lean on him whenever you need him. Some of us want God to remove every hill, but sometimes he just strengthens your feet for the journey, okay? That's not a lesser miracle. Write this down. Sometimes the miracle is not that the path got easier. Sometimes the miracle is that you did not quit walking. You didn't give up. You didn't throw in the towel. Sometimes that's the best miracle in all of it, is that you're still here. You know, whenever that situation took place in your life and you were dealing with depression and you wanted to go to a deep, dark place, but you're here. That's a miracle, friend. Right? That in of itself is something to celebrate in the way of God did something only he can do through his power. He knew how to keep your feet. So the Lord knows how to keep your feet from slipping when your emotions are unstable, when your circumstances are uncertain, when the people around you start acting crazy. The Lord knows how to help you in the seasons. What you cannot keep together, God will still promise to keep covered. The word keep here is one of the main words in this psalm. If you see and you read it over again, you'll see keeps. He keeps. He keeps. The Lord watches. The Lord preserves. He keeps. It's repeated over and over because the psalmist is wanting us to understand that God is not just the God who helps once. He is the God who is continuously there, continuously helping us. He is the ever-present help in the time of trouble, according to Scripture. So the psalmist is giving us this reminder that he is always near, that he is always there, that God doesn't clock out. God doesn't doze off. God doesn't go take a nap while you're going through something. God is still in the midst of all of it, holding you. He's not just giving, he doesn't need a break from being faithful. He just is faithful. Okay? That's who he is. He is faithful. He doesn't need a break from his faithfulness. He is the faithful one. And he continues to be faithful to all of us, to every generation. So some of us are exhausted because we're trying to stay awake over things God already said he would keep. We're awake all night trying to figure out this, figure out that, stirring, rolling, and all these things, every outcome, every situation, every possibility. Our anxiety's through the roof, and we're staying up all through the night trying to figure things out. And God's like, already said I'll keep this. Why are you freaking out over it? Once again, it doesn't mean that we don't do the practical things, but it means that we don't let anxiety rule our life. We understand the one that keeps us. We rest in him. This is really a word, understand what it says. It says that he's keeping us, but it's also a reminder that it's okay to rest sometimes. Because he doesn't need rest, you do. Okay, you need to hear that today. God doesn't need rest, and the reason that you can rest is because he never rests. And he tells us to rest. God shows, yes, in creation, he showed us that he rests. He rested then. But now, he's the faithful one. And he's given angels, hear me, angels on assignment. He's watching over. Jesus seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. The Holy Spirit living and dwelling within us. He is always with us, always looking over us. So hear me today. You don't have to play God tonight. Let God be God. And you go to sleep. Get some rest. Stop mulling over all those things. Go to sleep because the keeper is awake. Rest is not irresponsibility when God is the one keeping watch. Okay? Rest is not irresponsibility when God is the one who's watching over everything. Parents, this should preach to you. Leaders, this should preach to us. Business owners, this should preach to you. People who carry everyone else's burdens, this should preach to you today. That you can love people deeply and still understand that you are not their savior. And some of us, we have savior complexes, and we feel like we have to save everybody when they're going through something difficult. Guess what? That's not your job. Amen. Sure, you can help. Yes, bear each other's burdens so you can fulfill the law of Christ. Absolutely. But it's not your job to stay up all the way through every single night worried about what they are worried about. Because eventually, we just got a bunch of worried, restless people. So it's not your responsibility. You can love people deeply, but you don't have to save everybody. So go to sleep, pray, obey, trust God, and go to sleep. Get some rest, because the Lord's watching over the things you can't control. You get something out of this today. Amen. The Lord is your keeper. So it goes on, the Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. So the third thing here is the Lord is your keeper in the heat and in the night. Psalm says the Lord, once again, is your keeper. Keeper, not just in a general way, but in a very personal way to each and every single person who's hearing this as they're on this trek. There's this reminder, the Lord is keeping us in the shade and at night and in the daytime when the sun is out, when the moon's out, whatever it looks like, the Lord is keeping us. So it says that he keeps the shade of his right hand. The right hand was, and generally when we talk about scripture, it's a place of strength or covenant as well. It's also action. It's work. It's also battle too. So there's also this understanding that whenever you're under the shade of his right hand means he's fighting your enemies. He's fighting for you. He is the mighty warrior. He is the Lord who is strong and mighty, and he's fighting on your behalf. He's protecting you in that way. So the Lord's your shade. It means that he is present right where you are working, where you are fighting through some things, where you are walking through some things, where you're parenting, where you're leading, where you're carrying difficult and different things. So hear me. The promise of this is that God is not just near to you in church. He's near to you in your car. Yeah. He is your protector and your shade in your house, in your business. So the sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night is a picture of total covering. And you think about this, there's also a promise of, y'all know the Florida heat is terrible. Garbage, right? It's hot. It's been hot. And what's interesting is when you think about it from this idea that the heat of the day was probably pretty warm. And then the evening had its own vulnerable situations, because as they're sleeping at night, as things begin to get dark, there's this reminder that even in those moments, the Lord is still keeping them. He's the keeper of both. So say this, he keeps you in what is obvious, and he keeps you in what is hidden. He keeps you when pressure is visible, and he keeps you whenever all that battle is internal. He is the one who still keeps you. And this is encouraging for us as believers today. The Lord is our keeper. It doesn't say that night will never come. It never says that heat moments will never take place. It just says that the Lord keeps us in the midst of all of those things. So God's keeping power is not proven by the absence of heat or the absence of problems. It is proven by the shade He provides for us, the moments of rest that He provides for us. In the midst of those moments, that is where His keeping power is shown to us and uncovered to us. So just because you feel heat, though, does not mean you are uncovered either. Because hear me, you are going to feel those moments. But in those moments, the Lord gives you a grace once again. He gives you a strength, a mercy to endure. Let's keep going. Psalm 121, 7 through 8 says this, "The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore." This is where the psalm goes even deeper than just physical protection or just an outward thing. The Lord shall preserve your soul. What is your soul? Your mind, will, and emotions is what we know it as. So it's your thought life. It's your will. It's the way that you want to do things. It's that the things, listen, I'm thankful that the Lord can protect my body, my family. I'm thankful in Psalm 91 that talks about the protection of the Lord. I'm thankful for it in that way, but I'm also thankful that He preserves my soul, because the truth is this, there are bitter things that and nasty things that happen all around us all the time, but the Lord preserves the soul. That doesn't mean that nothing difficult, once again, will ever happen to you, but it's the same Bible that gives us Psalm 121 also shows us faithful people walking through trouble. But it does not mean trouble does not, it does not mean that trouble gets the final authority over your life. God has the final authority. He has the final say of whatever you're facing. He is the one who is keeping our soul. So things can change around us all the time, but that doesn't mean anything ever has to get in on the inside. Yeah. Those things that took place around you don't have to mess up your soul, your mind, will, and emotions. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm going to give it to you this. Has anybody ever been offended before? Yeah, I've been offended before. Offense is a moment. Offended is a choice. Offenses take place. You decide whether you want to live offended or not. That's your choice. Not it. Not so fast, my friend. This is where we get in trouble. That we say, offense is a moment, offended is a choice, but I would not be offended if offense didn't happen. Really good job taking responsibility for yourself. You're doing great. You're right. If offense would have never happened, sure, you wouldn't have been offended by that person. But the next person that brought offense into your life, you'll be offended by them. Because it's a conscious choice. How many have had an offense towards you more than once? More than twice? 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 34, 50, 6, 7, 9,374. Okay? Like, we've all had offense moments. Probably a lot of us knew. If you're married in this room, don't say anything. That's right. Whatever things are good, whatever things are lovely, praise the Lord. We've all faced offense moments. But just because, and they could have done something legitimately wrong to you. It's not just like a my preference offense. I'm talking about it is a principal bad thing, objectively bad thing someone did to you that created an offense that does not give you the right to live offended. And forgiveness is the thing that preserves your soul that God has given to us that we are to bestow onto others. So, when we see the Lord preserves our soul, once again, it's a faith statement with faithfulness action. So these things, offenses can take place around you, but it doesn't have to change your soul. Fear, anybody had a scary moment take place? Absolutely. I've had a young, in Pastor Chelsea and I's marriage, I've given this testimony numerous times, I won't give the full thing right now, but early in our marriage, I battled with a strong spirit of fear that I couldn't even sleep in our own house for almost the first full year of our marriage, which is crazy because we're newlyweds and we're not even able to be in our home that we own, that we purchased. But the spirit of fear had gripped me so firm that it had warped just everything that I even thought about protection. And so now I'm battling this thing because I allowed a moment that took place to turn into fear on the inside. That's what I'm talking about. The Lord can preserve your soul. In that moment, I gave into the fear, and I made fear the thing that I was magnifying. I was not looking my eyes to the hills with my help. See, because we can go, hear me out. We can go through all the prayers, once again. We can go through all the practical, all the spiritual steps. We have people come over, anoint our walls with oil. We have people walk our property and pray over it. We did all those things, and I believe in the power of those things. But I also believe in the practicality of walking things out. And it wasn't until we decided, you know what, we're just not going anywhere anymore. We're not going to do this. Somebody that I'm married to made that decision very firmly, and I said, you're right. I'm thankful she did. Because sometimes whenever we're blinded in our own problems and we've allowed our soul to be so corrupted by something that may have took place around us, we need somebody else, a covenant partner. And this can be in a marriage. It can be, if you're married and you're both saved, call the Lord, it should be your marriage partner. That should be your covenant partner. But if you're not, there might be a friend or something like that you need someone to shake you and wake you and say, hey, you got to stop going through the same cycle. So hear me today. Bitterness, that tries to get your soul. Weariness tries to get into your soul. Disappointment. Anybody ever been disappointed before? Same thing. You can be disappointed, but that does not make that person a disappointment. Okay? We're separating maybe actions that happen to us from judgments about the person or even about ourselves. Shame will try to get into your soul. When you do something stupid, you do something wrong, you sin, you fall short, man, now you're all ashamed. Hear me, it happened. Repent. Don't do it again. Walk the other way. Someone say like this, God is not only keeping you from what is around you, he is keeping you from what tries to get within you. Okay, he's not just keeping from what's around you, he's keeping you from what tries to get within you and change those mind, will, and emotions that try to warp your soul. That matters because some of us, we may have survived a certain situation, but your soul got infected by the situation. Like I was mentioning a moment ago, some of us maybe made it through a betrayal, but now bitterness has our soul. Some of us, maybe we made it through disappointment, but now we're cynical all the time. Everything is pessimistic. You may have made it through a hurt, but now, once again, maybe fear has your soul. Maybe you made it through a very difficult pressure moment, but now you live angry. This is evidence, hear me today, that somewhere along the way, what happened around you got in within you, and you need deliverance from that. You need to ask for freedom from that, and you need to rely on the Lord and look your eyes to the hill once again. Because the psalmist says, the Lord shall preserve your soul. Preserve matters. That means to keep something from being ruined or changed by what is around it. If anybody's ever seen like memorabilia from sports and other things, they're normally put into these boxes, or maybe if you're a Pokemon card person in this room, I am not, but I know there are some teenagers in here, so I'll speak to you or whatever. But there's like the Mega Charizard cards that are out there or whatever. What's the one that Logan Paul has? My kids talk about it. And it's like in this preserved necklace thing that he can wear, but it's so that no dirt, dust, debris can't be bent. Nothing actually changes the actual card itself. And that is what it looks like for the Lord to preserve our soul, is that he can fortify us, that he can put a guard, a shield around us, that those moments, those times don't change who we are, or we aren't ruined by what is around us or changed by what is around us. I think about it like this. I meant to bring this with me today, and I didn't, but I'm sorry. If I'm holding up a cucumber and a jar of pickles, they are the same. They're the same thing. But what happens, how do they become pickles? They got to go through a process, but it's a process of vinegar. and other things. Now, I'm not saying pickles are bad. I like pickles, but just follow me for a second. It's more representation of showing you this, that just because you are what you are right now does not mean if you get around enough sour things and sour people and problems and struggles, it will change who you are completely. And the thing about pickles, even though they can have a sweet, they're kind of bitter too. They have a bitter bite sometimes. Hear me, if you're not careful, you will change who you are completely whenever you don't let the Lord preserve your soul. And listen, I should have had Larry Boy up here, the cucumber. Okay, that's what we should have done. Why didn't they ever do a VeggieTales episode about that Larry Boy turns into a pickle? That would have been a good one. Anyways, this is why I like creative writing. Some of us, though, if you sit around pressure long enough, offense and fear and disappointment, bitterness, anxiety, it starts getting into your soul. And we'll come to church, we'll still smile, we'll still function, still do life all the same, but something has started to change on the inside and nobody else can see. And this is why this preserving of the soul is so important to remember. Now, I'll give it to you in a silly way for you to remember today, and that is this. You can either let the Lord preserve you or let the problem pickle you. Like, you can be pickled by problems, is what I told Pastor Chelsea. I said, we got people who are pickled by problems all the time. And oftentimes, we let our problems begin to turn us into something we never were before. They change our composition completely. They change who we are completely. And the Lord does not want you to just get through something. He wants you to preserve. He wants to preserve your soul while you're walking through it. So hear me. It is possible to survive something and still need God to heal what it did to you. Or what it is trying to do to you. So our prayer is, Lord, preserve my soul. Don't let what happens around me have authority within me. The Lord preserving your soul does not mean you never feel pain. It means that pain doesn't become your shepherd. He stays your shepherd. That means God's not interested in just the big spiritual moments too. Because if it says this, the Lord shall preserve your soul going out and coming in. That means that he's not just interested in one moment. He's interested in all the moments of your life. The ordinary day. He's interested in that. When you're here at church, he's interested in that. Whenever you're going through a tough battle, he's interested in it. Whenever everything's going good, he's still interested in it. He keeps you when you leave the house and when you come home. He keeps you at work and at church. He keeps you at the grocery store and at the golf range, wherever you find yourself. He is the one that is keeping you. He's preserving your soul. So God is not only present at the destination, he is present throughout the whole journey, through every transition, through every step, through the ordinary, through the difficult. He is there always. So write this down, and we're going to bring this to a close this morning. Y'all are going to get out early today. Look at this. Unless you want me to preach longer. I'm just playing. Help from higher is not temporary help. It is eternal help. Help from higher is not temporary help. It's eternal help. I'm going to give you the five things real quickly, the practical steps. When we preach through Psalms for the summer, I like to give you practical steps on the back end of this teaching. So the five practical steps from this message real quickly is, one, lift your eyes daily. Every day, lift your eyes to the Lord. Before you let your mind begin to spiral, go ahead and begin to declare the name of Jesus. Before you let fear begin to preach to you, go ahead and begin to preach to your soul. Lift your eyes daily. Look at where have my eyes been fixed? What have I been magnifying? What have I been looking at? What have I been glorifying? And then change it, begin to glorify Jesus even at the beginning of your day. Number two, name where you have been looking for help. We don't want to do this one. This is probably the more difficult one. It's easy to say, Lord, I lift my eyes to you. I thank you for this day. I thank you, help me. That's easy. But then you start going, Lord, I've been looking for help in this place. And start naming it. Be honest with yourself and with the Lord. I've been looking for money. I've been looking to people. I've been looking to approval. I've been looking to comfort. I've been looking at my own ability or the abilities of even others. But hear me, you put your eyes back on him who is your help. Number three, let God keep what you cannot control. Let God keep what you cannot control. You can only control what you can control. Let God have the rest. You only have so much bandwidth to control things. The rest of it, sometimes we just got to say, Lord, I'm giving this to you. Tomorrow has enough trouble. That's what Scripture talks about. It's got its own problems. Let's just focus on right now. Lord, what are we doing right now? Lord, help me right now. So steward what God gives you, but stop trying to be sovereign over everything that already belongs to him. Stop trying to make all the things happen. So pray, obey, do what he told you to do, and then rest in the fact that the keeper does not sleep. Number four, ask God to preserve your soul. So don't just ask God to get you out of a situation, but in the midst of situations, ask him to help you, be your comforter, your helper, the guard around you. Ask him to help keep bitterness and fear and offense and all these other things we talked about earlier away from you. And the last thing is this, and I'll invite somebody to come play. Number five is trust him in the going and the coming, which means every day of your life, you trust him. Wherever you're going, Lord, I trust you. The ordinary parts of my life, whenever I'm taking my kids to school, Lord, I trust in you. I know it's summertime. I'm going preparing you for what's ahead. Some of y'all, that's like, yes, Lord. Trust him whenever you're taking your kids to school. Whenever you're driving to work, whenever you're getting ready in the morning, whenever you're going to pay the bills, whenever you're going to do this and that, trust him every single day. He's not just the Lord over your Sunday. He's the Lord over your going out. He's the Lord of whenever you're coming back. He's the Lord whenever, wherever you find yourself, he is still over all. And we believe that today, that this is a psalm of help for us as people who may be facing different things in this room. This is a psalm that helps us remember that we put our faith in the Lord God Almighty, and we don't let what's going on around us change who God has called us to be. Amen. Will you stand to your feet today and lift your hands to the Lord? I want to pray for us this morning. If you will you lift your hands to the Lord? I want to pray over the ones that you've been looking around you for so long that you've forgotten how to look to the Lord again. I want to pray for someone in this room that you've been zooming in on just the fear and the problems, the struggles, the anxiousness. And I want to remind you today that this is the day to look back to the Lord, the author and the finisher of our faith, the one that makes heaven, who's made the heavens and the earth, that there's nothing beyond his miraculous power. So will you lift your hands? Father, I pray for your people right now. We thank you for the word. Let it not return void today, but let it accomplish what you've set it out to do. Lord, today we remind our spirit, we remind our soul even to praise you, to look to you. We make a decision that we look to you. We look where our help comes from. Our help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Lord, I thank you that wherever we find ourselves, you keep us, you lead us, you guide us. Lord, that you preserve our soul, that things can happen all around us, but it doesn't have to be within us. Lord, for your spirit is within us. So we ask that today, let the fruit of the spirit begin to multiply in our life. May you rule and reign in our mind, in our will, and even in our emotions. Lord, we thank you for that right now. So God, we come into alignment with your word, and we ask for your help. We ask for you to preserve us, to keep us, to lead us, and to guide us, even as we look to you afresh and anew today. So God, we thank you right now for what you've done, you're doing, and you're going to do. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen and amen. We give God a hand clap of praise today, amen. I'm going to ask our ministry team to come.